Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I would like to express my appreciation for all of your faithfulness, that you always there to serve God and seek to know God and give your heart, your life, your devotion to the Lord Jesus and build a church, do His will. I and Pastor Da really appreciate all of you and never take your effort and your sacrifice, your devotion for granted. I always thank God for you, always pray for you that God will give you more and more grace and more favor. And always, like today, all day, I was thinking and thanking God for your life and appreciate all the brothers and sisters who have been faithful and do your best to build His people up. And I see so many people work so hard, try to build the people up. And I have seen the progress and the growth, the spiritual growth of many people in the church, many groups. I can see that people really change, and I want to give that credit to all of you because you work so hard to help people. You work so hard to impart and to teach and to be example to many sheep in this house, and the credit is given to you. And I believe that your rewards in heaven will be great. One day when you go to heaven, you will say that, thank God I don't waste my time. I have one life to live, and I live my life for Jesus Christ. And that day you will really rejoice that you don't make wrong decision to serve God and to live your life for God. The book of Malachi talk about, let's see that the difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. And I believe that your friend one day will see, wow, these people are really blessed and are better than most people, than the average people in this society. So I want to confirm again that I appreciate all of you. You have done your best, and I believe that you will continue to grow. Today, I would like to continue to talk about how to build the community or the house of God together. Last time, we finished at the word courtesy. The word courtesy. I would like to read the scripture one more time. In Romans chapter 15, verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. If Christian can think this way, that I come in here, I come to the church, I come to the meeting to build people up, to really to be a blessing to other people, your life will never be the same. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. The Bible did not say that toward only certain men, but toward all men, that we should show true humility. We should be peaceable people, considerate people. The Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. So we can see here that the Bible asks us to practice courtesy. Last time I mentioned that courtesy means to respect people's differences. People are differences. People have differences. And we need to respect the differences in the culture, in the way we all grow up. And that's the way to show courtesy. I just finished listening to a CD taught by a pastor of Latino congregation in Lakewood Church. And he mentioned about the differences between Latino and Anglo-Saxon or Caucasian. And it's interesting to hear the differences. And when I listened, I was thinking, wow, you know, this man only talked about Latino or Spanish or Hispanic group and Anglo-Saxon or Caucasian group. But can you imagine in our church we deal with more than that? We are not only having Latino, we have, you know, right lately we begin to have even Cambodian show up last Sunday afternoon. We have Chinese, we have Japanese, we have all kinds of nationality and backgrounds, and we are all so different in thinking, in culture, in the way we approach things. We have different strengths and weaknesses. So this is the house of God where you can really practice courtesy. Amen. If you don't grow in the area of practicing courtesy in this house, something is wrong. Because this is the best place to exercise courtesy, to be courteous toward one another. Not only that, courtesy means to be considerate of each other's feelings. Amen. So we need to be sensitive to people's feelings. And that's something that we all need to grow together. Not only me, not only you. I myself need to grow too in that area. And be patient with people who irritate us. Thank God that God allows somebody to come into the house of God. And his personality is very irritating and very difficult to deal with. Some people come in with emotional needs, come in with deep insecurities, or have some irritating mannerisms or poor social skill. You know, I wonder if today or this Sunday we have people who walk in with long hairs, with beard, and with a smell on their body. That jacket never been washed for many days or many weeks. Are we gonna still showing that courtesy? Are we still showing sensitivity and accept that person? I want to encourage, when I prepare this lesson, God told me to say this to all of you. In the church like this, not everyone is mature. You have a group of people who are still guests, still new believers. They are still very young in the Lord. So God really depends a lot on mature Christian in the church and leadership in the church. So I want to say this. When you see people who come into the church that have different background or very difficult cases, don't expect members and young believers to go and show love to that person. We are the one, leaders must be the one who step out with faith and love to go directly to that person and show special courtesy and love to this group of people. Amen. For example, if this Sunday we have a group of, punky people with sticking hair up with five colors on the hair, walking with black clothes, I know that the first human reaction is that we all gonna try to stay away and sit and in another corner. And you don't expect regular members to go out and show courtesy to these people. If they can do it, thank God. So who gonna do it? I don't want anyone to leave this place and this church or this house or the care group, leave the place with the feeling like this, that Christians are not loving. Christians discriminate me. Christians are so prideful. Christians don't love. I want everyone who walk into this place, who walk into this house, when they leave, they will say, Christians are good. Jesus is good. Wow. Even though I look so different, I look so irritating. But in the natural, they may hate, they should hate me. They should not accept me. But they welcome me. They come to me and shake hands with me and say hi and say, we are so glad that you are here. Amen. We need to be that kind of people. I want to resurrect this kind of atmosphere in the church. Now we're getting bigger and we start to dilute this area because everyone busy on Sunday. You know, you kind of have your own group. But I want to encourage you to have sensitive eyes. When you sit around the church on Sunday or you go to care group, when you see somebody come in look different, like last Sunday, we have a group of Cambodian people sit here. I show special grace to go and greet them one by one and ask them by name. And not only that, I bow down and grab their hand and pray for. You know what? There's one young gentleman came in here. At the beginning, he was very, very uptight with us. I don't think he's a Christian. But you know, because we show courtesy to him. At the end, he came to tell Pastor Da, you will see me next Sunday. You can see that an effort to show courtesy to people, to be courteous, to love people, will really draw people to Christ. So I want to, the reason I have to mention this subject again, because I feel that last time I did not have enough time to really challenge and inspire you to be more courteous toward people. God is going to send some difficult people into the church, different kind of people into the church. We should not run away from them. We should run to them and show love to them. Amen. There is a gentleman that came to our church, and I tell you, when you mention his last name, a lot of people will make face and step back about 10 steps. When I mention this person's name, I don't want to mention name in this CD, but I purposefully always go to him and show love to him. And I began to see that he is changing. Last Sunday, he cried in front of me and repented of his sin. You know why? Because I intentionally be courteous. I was courteous to him to show love to this man, to win him for Christ instead of rejecting him. Because he's different from me. He's different, culturally different, look different, everything. But we need to be like Jesus. We need to be courteous like Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, when this kind of situation happens in the church or in your congregation or in your fellowship meeting, you need to look at this way. This is my opportunity for spiritual growth. Don't look at it as this guy really get on my nerve. No. You should look at the situation as my opportunity for my growth. I'm going to grow this time. God allow this situation to happen to me so that I will become more like Christ. I'm going to extend my courtesy. I'm going to extend my sensitivity. I'm going to extend my love to this person who look different from us. You notice that most churches in America are ethnic church. Do you notice that? Today I talked to a pastor from Renton. He said that he is a black gentleman. He said that he has really a hard time bringing people of other skin color into his church. He struggled a lot. And the same way, he met another 10 pastors in Renton, and he said that all these churches, he told me, he said that all these churches are struggling in bringing people of different nationality and different skin color into that church. Why? Because if we don't teach our member, people tend to flock together of the same kind. And we forget to extend courtesy to people of different kind or different backgrounds. Amen. So, people belong to the church not because how smart they are, not because how beautiful they are, not because the skin color look alike or the same culture. People have fellowship in the church because we are brother and sister in Christ. It's not about backgrounds. It's not about skin color. We belong to each other as a family. Amen. Therefore, it's our job to protect one another. I tell you, if somebody talk bad about anyone in the church, we should protect one another right away. Say, stop saying something negative. We are a brother keeper. Amen. We need to be brothers keeper. We need to protect one another's reputation. We should not use our mouth to attack one another in the church. Amen. And I repent about that because sometimes I make mistake to myself to say something negative. But I really repent. In fact, I tell you the truth. Today, when I prepared this lesson from last night to today, in fact, I was so tempted not to teach this lesson because I feel that this is a simple, so simple lesson, piece of cake. The listener or the brother and sister in the church will listen to this lesson and say, Pastor, why you teach something so simple and so, you know, this is not deep theology. This is not something I'm looking forward to hear. I want to hear something big, some big theology, something great. And I admit to you, I have read this lesson 5 times already because I prepare to teach this class 5 times already, and I prepare all the whole lesson, but I never finish it. So I have to come back and read again. This is the 5th time that I read these 5 pages because I prepare every time I read the whole lesson. And today, for some reason, when I read this lesson while preparing the lesson, it's really dawned on me. I really repented. I really got it that, ooh, I know this lesson in my head, but I don't get it in my spirit yet. And actually, it really helped me to see that why God's people need to listen to the same message again and again so many times, because even I, as a pastor, I read this lesson the 5th time already. I type it up. You know, I read it. I don't even get it myself until today that I really get it. And I'm going to tell you what I get it today at the end. But this is part of it that we need to, sorry. We need to really listen. I want to encourage all of you to really listen to the CD again and again. Don't take the word of God for granted, because you don't get it until you really do it. Until it become really your life. Otherwise, it's just a head knowledge. And a lot of time, we're just happy with head knowledge. I know. But God said it's not enough just to say, I know. We need to do, I do. I got it. Today, I really get it. Amen. So one way to show courtesy is to understand where people are coming from. In this church, we have international people. And I have to put a lot of effort every single day to try to understand where people are coming from in this house. Where Al is coming from. What is his background? Why he think that way? We need to understand where William is coming from. I need to understand his thinking. So this is an effort to show courtesy. Because if you don't understand where people come from, you only think about yourself, then you will never be able to show courtesy to people. Amen? You need to know their history. You need to know their backgrounds. Amen? So I want to tell you this. There is no perfect man in the world except Jesus Christ. Because we all come from imperfect background. And because of that, many times, don't jump in conclusion to judge people right away. Because sometimes people come from the different background, and you come from different background. When you come together like this, you tend to judge each other because of different backgrounds. Therefore, before judging, before pulling yourself off, move forward to show courtesy and accept the differences in that person, from the difference that they have from you. Amen? Amen. Our job is to move into love, not to back off. We need to love people into the kingdom. And I tell you right now, even the pastor need love. Amen. Even the preacher need love. Even, you know, the biggest preacher in America also need love. You know, we need to love people. We need to really extend our courtesy to people and be loving. We choose to walk in love. Amen? Amen. Always appreciate people where they have come to, instead of judging them where they have to go to. Because people will come to the spiritual level at certain level, and they have not arrived the maximum yet. So we appreciate that. At least they are here. Is that right? You know, every time I begin to criticize other Christians or begin to really pull myself away because lack of courtesy in my heart, the Lord warned me this. The Lord said like this. You know, son, at least this brother in the church, they are not out there to play game and to play gamble. They are here in the church. At least they're seeking God here. At least they do something for God. Why don't you appreciate them and just ignore and Don't look at their weaknesses and their differences from you. Because at least they're seeking God. They're doing something for God. Why don't you appreciate them? And this applies to any denomination, any church. At least I appreciate Pope. Because at least he's trying to do something for God. Whether doctrine, we may have different doctrines. I appreciate Catholic priests, if they are trying to live for God, you know what I mean? So we try to appreciate people and understand the differences. Amen? Amen? And when people fall into mistake or make mistake, we should be the safe person that people can come to you and they don't feel being judged. You should make yourself like you are a safe person that people can come to you and cry to you and say, I'm wrong. Because people are afraid of being judged. People are afraid of being criticized. So you need to be walking as a gracious person. You know what is the meaning of gracious? I'm not talking about the grace of God. Different issue. Being gracious means you still treat people who are lower than you or make mistake or do not up to your standard. Maybe when I say lower, I mean like poorer, less educated, younger in the Lord, maybe make mistakes and you are doing better than them. Treat people who are below you with love without looking down on them. Amen. That is being gracious. Amen. So we need to be gracious to people. Now, build God's community does not only need courtesy, but we also need confidentiality. I would like to build a community where it becomes a safe environment or a place of warm acceptance, unconditional acceptance. If you can build that atmosphere in the church, people will be open up to share their hurts, their struggling, their needs, their mistakes. How can you do that? You do that by not sharing their mistake with people outside their group. For example, if somebody come to your care group and begin to share his mistake, you don't bring that mistake to another group and say, you know, that brother shared that day that he make a big mistake. Something like that. You know, when you do that, it will cause, I'm talking about gossiping, in other words. Go and talk about somebody else's mistake. I'm not talking about you talk inside your own group and try to share, try to resolve the problem together. So if you have 5 people involved in that situation, you can talk inside, but don't bring outside 5 people. Just stay in there to keep confidentiality in the group. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, in TEV, gossip is spread by wicked people. They stir up trouble and break up friendships. In NIV say, a perverse man stirs up dissension and a gossip separate close friends. So, in order to avoid division or destroy fellowship, we need to watch our mouth not to gossip or not to talk about other people's mistake outside their own group. If he or she share with this group, keep it there. Don't use prayer meeting to be a gossiping place. Sometimes you come to pray. I see that all the time before I came to this church. I went to a prayer meeting and then say, oh, that sister do this and this and that. Why don't we pray for her? And then everyone know about it, that she is making mistake. So sometimes prayer meeting can be a gossiping place. And we have to be very careful not to use the prayer meeting as a place to attack people or to talk about people's mistake. Amen? So, we need, if people have a habit of gossiping in this church, we need to deal with it right away. And even that person leave the church, it's okay. Because gossiping gonna destroy the church. Amen. We don't have this much problem in our church lately since we have revival. But before revival come, we have some of this in our church quite a bit. So I have to deal with it all the time. You know, people start to talk. And we, since revival come, people become more spiritual than before. Another one, in order to build God's family, we need courtesy, we need confidentiality, and also we need frequency. We need frequent contact. We need regular contact. We need to build relationship, fellowship together. And that's why you notice that care group, people who commit to the care group has less chance to backslide than people who don't commit to the care group. Why? Because those who commit to a care group have frequent or regular fellowship, frequency of relationship all the time. To build a family, need that. You cannot have a distant relationship in the church. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Wow, the Bible used the word habit. So it should be our habit to meet together. It should not be a special deal. It's a habit that we meet together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another. We need to develop a habit of meeting together in the care group, in the home group, or even outside the home group. We need to develop a habit of frequent meeting and being together and spend time together. Amen. You cannot develop a habit until you do it frequently enough. Is that right? A few days ago, God told me this. God showed me that, son, it's great to have good organization. Son, it's great to have administration. It's so good to have vision, good vision. It's so good to have good teaching. It's so good to have such a powerful ministry. But God told me this. But I want all of you to have very close relationship. I'm serious. God really spoke to me. Now I understand why God spoke to me. Because after I look back in the past 20-something years, I notice that people who have left our congregation, either good reason or bad reason, if I look back, there is one issue that I notice. That person is not very close to anyone in the church. Lack of close fellowship with people in the church. And as time go by, it become more and more distant. And the devil come in and chop off the relationship because of the distant relationship. And the same thing, you know, I know that sometimes as Asian people, we tend to be, and I have to admit that God is changing me. As an Asian culture, in the Asian culture, we are very work-oriented, especially Chinese. I have Chinese background, and I remember when I was in the old denomination, before we moved out, we are really trained to be vision and work-oriented type people. And I was like that. Actually, I really repent already. I was really vision-driven. I want to do this. I want to get this done. I want bam, 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 bam. But I totally ignore relationship with people for a long time. And even to my wife, my kids, I just kind of keep moving, keep getting the job. We need to build a church. We need to plant more churches. We need to do this. And then what happened? I really totally ignore relationship issue for a long time. I didn't know it until lately God began to reveal to me, son, it's not about vision only. It's not about work, get the job done. It's about you love your guy, love one another. It's about you have relationship. So lately, I repent and begin to change my way of life now. I even though I still want to see the job get done, even though I still have the driven vision in my heart to see a great church and plant churches and see more people come in, you know, but I begin to become more balanced that, okay, it's not just about vision, but it's about I have strong relationship with Henry. I have a strong relationship with Mike and Gloria. I have a strong relationship with Pat. Because we are not here together just for the vision. We're here together because we love one another. And in order to that, to do that, we need frequent meeting and fellowship together. Amen. So really, God really deal with me. I have to admit that God really has dealt with me in this issue that I was wrong. I was wrong as a pastor. I was wrong. And then that spirit spread into the whole church because of me. And I repented. I changed. I say, no, from now on, I'm going to care for relationship. Yes, we need to do the vision. We need to get the job done. But relationship must be very important above those things. Amen. So that's why when you come to this issue about relationship and all about frequency of meeting, we need to understand that we cannot use the world system in building the church. The world system tells us this, that everything is built on convenience. My convenience. But in the church, everything is built on conviction. Amen? Yeah. Everything is built on conviction. Why? I never want to stop the move of God. Because I have the conviction that this is the right way to go. No matter what. And we need to have that conviction that we're going to have strong relationship in the church. And when you have that conviction, even though sometimes it's not very convenient to go to care group or to meet together, we will do it. Because we have the conviction that we must build relationship. It's not about feelings. It's not about convenience. It's about conviction that we need strong relationship in the church. Amen. We need to have tight, loving relationship in the church. Whether you feel like it or not, you still go to care group. Whether you feel like it or not, you still go and meet your brother and sister, have dinner together, hang out together. Whether you feel like it or not, you still go to camp. Because the camp is going to be the place we're going to hang out together. It's not about what you feel. It's not about your convenience. It's about conviction. I need to do this for my spiritual life, for my spiritual health, and for their spiritual health. It's a conviction that we have in the church or in our spiritual life. Amen? Amen. So, fellowship requires an investment of time. Amen? So, in conclusion, as we build the church together, we need to keep ourselves being sincere to share our feeling. We need to encourage one another mutually, build one another up. We are here to build one another up. We need to support each other. When our brother and sister need help, we support one another. We need to forgive one another. We need to speak the truth in love to one another. We need to be humble to admit our mistake and our fault. Don't be prideful. We need to respect our differences, courtesy. And we need to avoid gossiping, confidentiality. And we need to make our group fellowship as priority in our life. That we need to really fellowship with one another. Amen. Amen. In order to do all these things to build a church, we need to give up our self-centeredness. Yesterday I talked to a brother. He told me that he noticed that everyone who come to the church at the beginning have this personality. Everyone talk about themselves. Me. My way, my thing, how I feel. But after people stay in the church for a while, they begin to think about other people. Oh, how that person is doing. It's about getting rid of self-centeredness and become interdependence. We're going to depend on each other in the church. Amen. When you see somebody weakness in the church, instead of pulling your mouth up and criticize why he doesn't do that, you need to think this way. You see that person weakness, you think this way. Thank God that's why I'm here, to help patch up and cover the multitude of sin of that person or the weakness of that person. When you see my weakness, I have weaknesses in my life. Instead of saying, Pastor, you are such a lousy leadership. You don't know what you're doing. You can think that way, it doesn't build anything. But if you think this way, thank God, he is weak in that area. I am strong in this area, I can help him. So this is the community. The community is to help each other. We're going to support one another. to see one another weaknesses instead of attack the weakness. We say, I'm going to jump in to help you. I'm going to jump in to support you. We're going to go together and help one another in the church. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil come in to tell you to attack one another in the church, because we all have good points and wrong and weak points in our life. And we need one another. We all need one another. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If I am Superman, I know everything, I can do everything, I don't need all of you then. I can do it myself. But I need you. And you need me. And we all need one another. Amen? So we I know this lesson is very simple, but it's a good reminding to all of us that we need each other. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. 2 John chapter 1 verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Walk in love. The whole thing that we have been sharing for the last 3 months, sum up in one word. Love. Amen. Everything that I share in the past 3 times, sum up in one word, love. You cannot do all these things without love. Confidentiality, courtesy, frequency, humility, authenticity, mutuality, support one another. All these things cannot be done without love. And I want to tell you right now, if you ask God a question, if you say, God, what is the most important thing? Of all of my life here, is my bank account the most important thing? Is my job the most important thing? Is my vision the most important thing? Is my ministry the most important thing? Is my ambition, my dream? Is it my preaching, my anointing the most important thing? God is going to answer you wrong. The most important thing in the heart of God, in your life, the whole thing about your life is love. Because God is love. Amen. You know, I read this lesson 5 times already to prepare this class. Today, I begin to get it. That is the most important thing, is to love one another and love God. Amen. It's not about fulfilling my vision, about fulfilling my plan. It's about love, or is about relationship. Amen? Amen. The foundation of every single command in the Bible. We have thousands of commandments in the Bible. The foundation of every command in the Bible is love. The book of Galatians chapter 5 verse 14 say, you shall love your neighbor, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. All the law, all the principle I teach every Sunday, every sermon that I preach every Sunday is based on one word. Love. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we need to really get this issue into our heart, because otherwise I can teach you another 10 years, you will never get it. You will never be able to do what I say. Because love is the foundation of everything. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 17 in Amplified Bible, show respect for all men, treat them honorably. Love the brotherhood, the Christian fraternity, of which Christ is the head. Reverence God, honor the emperor. So the Bible says love what? Love your brothers and sisters. Love the brothers, the Christian friend in the church. Amen. And why this issue have to be reminded again and again in the church? Do you know why? You know why I have to keep mentioning about love? Because the issue of love goes against your nature. It really go opposite your nature. Your nature is self-centeredness. It's me, 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 me. But love is others. You. Not me anymore. So it really need to be nail on, again and again, until we become what God wants us to be. Love is something that we need to grow. And God gives us a lifetime to grow in it. It's a long way to go. God doesn't give us only 5 days to learn how to love. God gives us the lifetime to learn how to love. And you are in that school. If people ask you, are you going to school? You say, yes, I'm going to school. What school? Not West College only. Not only Seattle U. I'm going to the school of love. I am learning how to love. Everyone say at the same time, I am learning how to love. That's my homework. Yes, that's your job. That's your responsibility. You learn how to love. While you're existing in this world right now, because God wants you to love. Learn how to love. Love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Two things. You learn how to love God and you learn how to love your neighbors. You learn how to love God and you learn how to love your brother and sister in the church. So every time from now on, before you say anything, before you do anything, before you react anything, before you make any move, you ask yourself, am I doing this or saying this or thinking this or sharing this or open my mouth to saying this out of love or out of my flesh? You ask yourself every single time. And you know, I have to do it too. Don't take me wrong. I'm in the same shoes. I'm the same boat, okay? I'm teaching this. I'm teaching myself. I need to really ask myself every time. Am I doing this out of love? I am thinking this out of love. Am I practicing love? The Bible say in Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do you notice that God say that we need to give special attention and special love to brother and sister in the church? Do you notice that? Special. Everyone say special. Special love for brother and sister in the church. Why? Because God wants the world to know His church not as a business company, not as a company that make profit, not as a speaking in tongue group, not as a theologian group. God wants the world to know us for our love. Our trademark is L-O-V-E. Okay? When people walk into this building, when people walk into your care group, it's not just about trying to get the care group done. It's not about going through paper. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, schedule in your care group and get it done. It's not about your program. It's about people feel love, people see love in your group or not. Last Sunday afternoon, second service, we finished the service at 4 p.m. Can you imagine? And we have only, 30 people? But the service lasts longer than the morning. Why? Love. Because God still wants to minister to people. We cannot quit. We have to go on. Even though 30 people, people stay here. Is that right? I think we stay until 4. People start to really get out from the chair and leave the room around 4 p.m. And this is one of the longest service I have. For the regular Sunday service, because people got to minister, and I cannot stop, I cannot quit, because it's about love. People come in, they need to feel love in this church. They need to see the love of God, and the love of God through us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our reputation should not be nice big room, nice carpet. Our reputation should be loving community. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at what the Bible say, why I say all these things. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, the Bible says this, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so that you should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, and if you keep on showing love among yourself. So you can see that God does not say that people will know that you are my people by speaking in tongue, by nice room, nice carpet, nice program. God, people will know you because you love one another. Know that you are God's people because you love one another. Can we make decision together that we're going to build a community of love? Amen. Let's say at the same time. Let's confess. I make a decision. I'm going to put my effort and do my best to build a community of love. And I make a decision to love every brother and sister in this church unconditionally. And I will show love to them. When people walk into my church, into my care group, they will see the love of God in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name. I think we are going the right direction. You know why? When you go to heaven, you're going to enjoy the love of people for eternity. Let's start now. Let's get used to it now. Because otherwise you go to heaven, you will be shocked. Oh, I don't know that in heaven there's so much love. Because in my church, there is a joke about a man who lived by himself on an island. Some of you already heard this joke. I heard this a few times. This man lived on the island by himself. And one day, the boat came in and found him on that island. And the people who came by with the boat say, why do you have three buildings here? You build three buildings. What are these buildings? The man say, this building is my house. How about another one? This building is my current church. How about the third building? That building is my previous church. I left that church. I quarrel with somebody there. I hate somebody there. Therefore, I left that church. You understand what I'm talking about? No? He lived by himself, so he quarreled with himself. And he left that church to go to another church. So there's no love. You see what I mean? So one man lived on an island but had three buildings. And he has two churches up there. So he quarreled with himself. He left the church. Amen. So this is our responsibility as a family to practice loving each other. Develop a skill of loving. Amen. How many people promise God, yesterday one of the person in the OR say like this, Dr. Lau, now I know why a lot of people come to you. You can do this case within 2 hours. Another surgeon have to do it 5 hours. He said that one of the residents say like this, you need to operate with him because his hand move so beautiful. Like the way he operate, when I perform surgery, people see I move my hand, they will be like, wow. I move very fast and I'm very, very skillful surgeon. That's why I have a lot of patients with me and they have good outcome. I developed the skill of being a neurosurgeon all these 20 years. And I believe that many of you develop the skill of computer. You can click internet, pam, 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 pam. You know, you develop the skill, you can get it. When I say, I like to know about Maui, in 10 minutes, somebody can click in the Googles and get out all the information about Maui. I remember in the OR one time, we talked about Woodstock. And this anesthesiologist is so good in computer. He was sitting there, he even can steal the internet into his computer in the hospital. I mean, no one else can check internet. He's the only guy who know how to hook up to the hospital internet. Within 1 minute, he told us that there were how many bands, how many days, and each band play on what day. In 1 minute. He's so skillful with his computer. A lot of us are so skillful in certain areas, many areas. Some of you, guitar, you know, so skillful in playing guitar. You practice playing guitar all day, all night. Some of you, very skillful in drumming. You know, I see some drummer, very good. Some of you so skillful in singing. Like Yukiko. Oh, he sing beautiful. Amen. But, amen. Hallelujah. Can I ask you one thing? Can you develop your skill of loving others? Let us develop the skill of how to show love to one another from now on. Can we do that? Yes. Not just only computer, not only high tech. You know, we are living in the high tech world, high tech society. We spend so much time in developing this high technology, high technical skill, but we forget about developing the skill of loving one another. Is it sad? Let's come back to the basic. Let's come back to the heart of God. God wants us to develop the skill of loving one another. Amen. And I want to tell you this. Love cannot be learned by isolation. Love can be learned by being around people. I want to tell you right now, God is my witness. The reason I stay in the second service for another 4 hours, not because of my responsibility to preach. Because you know what? I can just say to Pastor Cesar one sentence. Pastor Cesar, you take over Sunday afternoon. I'm going to go home and sleep. He has to do it. No, I'm just, I'm just kidding. He is happy to do it. He is happy to help me. I just go home and sleep. But God is my witness. The reason I stay Sunday afternoon, not because I have a job to preach, because I still love those 30 people that come, even if it's not 200 people, like in the morning, I still love them the same like people in the morning. And I love to minister to them. I spend time with them, I think Katrina can be my witness. Is that right? You see, I minister in the afternoon. I really still spend time with people. Why? Because of love. Because you cannot practice love without mingle with people, stay with people. You cannot practice love by staying at home watching TV. You need to mingle with people. Isolation is not the way of love. It's time of fellowship together. Even with people who are irritating. People who you don't want to see. People who say, this guy show up again. I know some of you think like that with somebody in the church. Some people who are very imperfect and frustrating cause all the heartache to you. You need to still love them. You still need to practice the skill. You know, if you love Pastor Da, it's only first grade. Because she is so easy to be loved. Just first grade to love her, easy. But to love. To love somebody here who is so irritating, difficult to talk to, you can understand them, him, you or her, and just so get on your nerve all the time. That is the 12th grade. That is the master degree. The skill of master degree to love that person. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage you, when God send those people in, you say, I'm going to get promotion today. I'm going to go to 12th grade to love these kind of people. Amen. Don't look at it like this is bad. No, it's good opportunity to practice the skill of love. Amen? Amen. Therefore, love should be our priority. Let everyone say, today I went home and I really repented. I don't know if Dad noticed or not. Pastor Dad didn't notice. Today is the first time in the past 10 years that when I went home and I did not sit in front of a computer, I repented. I went home, put my computer down, put my bag on, and I ran to the kitchen and talked to her. And I talked to Paul. And I went to look for Tanida and talked to Tanida. And I did not touch computer for the whole 2 hours in the evening today. Otherwise, But this is pretty good already. Normally I don't do that. I go home and I just go into the computer. You know why? Because I repented today after read this sermon, say, love is my priority. What I'm doing in the past 10 years, I came home and I still sit down with computer. I don't spend time with my wife. I don't spend time with my kids. I repented. Now she's happy. She's smiling. She got a new husband now. Because I repent. Am I going to take the computer to vacation? God knows. Hallelujah. I think I should. You know why I tell you the reason? I should. No, this is a joke. Yesterday, my friend told me that. You know, when I heard this story, I really see the protection of God. My friend told me that when the stock market went down, he sold the stock out, and he saved all the money, millions of dollars. So he didn't lose much. Listen carefully. And then, I can see God's protection on me because I didn't follow his pattern. He said that after that, he saw two group of stock that very good, didn't go down. So he put money back in the stock and he went to Hawaii for 7 days. When he was in Hawaii, he didn't check the stock. When he came back home, he lost 30%, millions of dollars. And not only that, he said, I'm not going to sell it because only 30% is going to come back up. A few months later, 80%. Yesterday, I asked him, friend, I think you should be retired by now. You have been working as a neurosurgeon for 20 years. You got a lot of money. He said, I did. But I didn't. I don't now. I said, what? I lost in all the stock. No, I just kidding about computer in Hawaii. Check the stock. No, I don't play stock. I'm sorry. So you can see that God protect you. I and didn't put money into those kind of stuff. We don't want to be rich fast. Amen. If you try to be rich fast, you can lose money. Hallelujah. So everyone say, love is priority. Amen, Phil. Amen. Love is priority. Love is our primary objective. Love is our greatest ambition. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gift. Which come first? Gift first or love first? The Bible says love come first. Amen. So we need to really put love if you can meditate like this every morning, you wake up, love come first, love come first, love come first. Every morning you wake up from today on all the days of your life, I believe that you will be a new person. Everywhere you go, you're going to express love, you're going to show love, you're going to do anything to help people to know that you love them. Love come first. Amen. And that's how Christian should be. Amen. So you should say like this. The first thing in my life that I want to do is to learn how to love people. Not to be rich, not to be famous, not to be reputable, be well known, or be, you know, whatever. Your first goal in your life is that I'm gonna know how to love people. Because that is the command of God. Why I say this? Because the Bible is so clear. I'm gonna read to you. That no matter what you did, no matter what you have done, no matter what you try to do, no matter how gifted you are, if you don't have love in the eyes of God, it means nothing. That's why love must be priority. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanking cymbal. Wow. You may be so gifted in certain area, but if you don't love in the eyes of God, it's just like this, just a sound. And though I have the gift of prophecy, you may be able to prophesy a lot on Sunday, but you just prophesy, but you don't love people. Understand all the mystery. You may be a great theologian. You understand the whole Bible. You can all the knowledge. You know everything in the Bible. You know, there is no theologian better, greater than you. You know all the scripture. And though I have all faith so that I could remove the mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Zero. Life without love is zero. That's what God tried to say. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Let's say at the same time, life without love is zero. We need to love people. That's why we need to learn how to love. That's why we need to develop the skill of love. Amen. This is a problem. We always act as if relationships are something we need to look for the time to squeeze into our busy schedule. In other words, our business, our other stuff are more important than relationship. When I read this lesson, prepare this lesson, God deal with me that business of life is not as important as love. Amen. Many times when I went to Thailand, I brought my computer too. And when I woke up in the morning, my dad was sitting down there in the room, you know, by himself. He is 87. I have to make a choice between doing my work on the computer or walk down to just sit with him and listen to him. Just sit there, listen to my dad. And thank God last time I went, I decided not to work much with computer at all. I was sitting with my dad every time I stay home. Just sit there, listen to him, talk to him. Because that is more important than my work, to show love to my dad. Amen. Amen. And the same thing in the church, please. In our care group, in our church, focus on relationship. Focus on love. What can I do to love people? What can I do to express love to people? Not that, what can I do to drive them to work for me? What can I do to make them, you know, fulfill my plan and my vision? I mean, we need to do all those things. And that's one of the reasons I haven't made announcement in the church that I have canceled Pastor Mike Francine to come to camp. Do not know yet, is that right? I canceled. But he will come in the end of July. Because God spoke to me that we need to revive this church. One of the things that we need to revive in this church is relationship. Amen. So from now on, our camp gonna be internal family issue. Amen. That we can, because if I have my friend seen, I will not have time with you. I have to entertain him all the time. So what I do, I like to spend time with you. I want to hang out with you. I'm gonna sit in the fire, in the campfire, and just sit there and have time with you. I'm gonna sit and eat with you and have fun together. We're gonna laugh together. We're gonna play game together. This year, I want to resurrect relationship in our church, that everyone gonna love one another. We're gonna have time to just hang out together, talk in the camp, beside revival, laying on of hand and preaching and worship. We're gonna really want to see everyone love one another and have strong relationship in this church. Amen. 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 You agree with me? You think it's a right direction? You think it's godly direction? We're going to build relationship in this. I want to get to know many of you. I want to hang out with you. I love the word hang out. Just, in fact, I listened to that sermon. I agree totally 100%. That pastor from Lakewood Church, he said that he just invite all the Spanish speaking, Latino speaking pastor, about 100 of them, and just come and hang out, drinking coffee together. So, you know, sometimes pastors don't even know how to hang out together. Because every time you sit, you talk about work. Is that right? You just talk about work. You talk about ministry. But you never talk about something else. And I want to do that with people in the church. Sometimes just hang out and talk about life and just forget about sometimes. I mean, we love God. Don't take me wrong. But we just come and have relationship. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Da was smiling. Amen. So because God says relationship is what life is all about. You can win the whole world, but if you don't have relationship with your kids, mean nothing. You can win the whole world. You can plant 1 million churches. But you never love anyone. It means nothing. I remember when I... that's why I go this direction. Because I remember I used to go to pastoral meeting for many years. 10 years. Fly 3 to 4 times a year. It's about meeting from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then go to another 3 group of what you call committees. Meeting. And then come back 7 p.m. Meeting until midnight. I never had even 1 second to have fellowship with any pastor there. To just hang out together that much. Maybe just a little bit, but never really. It's a surface level or just, hi. Yeah, good. My church is growing. Your church is growing. Oh, thank God. How many numbers you have? Oh, you're bigger. Oh, good. You're bigger. We never talk about anything else. Just only who is bigger than who. And that's why it's so devastating to me. So difficult for me. Because I need relationship. I don't need just ministry. You see what I mean? I'm not going to do that to Pastor Noom. I'm not going to do that to our leadership. We're going to be friends. We're going to be family. Even though we try to win the world together, but we're going to be family. Amen. You like it? I think that is godly direction. Amen. So I'm excited about this lesson. You notice that 10 commandments, 4 of them talk about relationship with God. 6 of them about relationship with each other. 10 commandments never talk about something else, only relationship. 10 commandments are talking about relationship. What is the most important thing? Love. Relationship. Amen. Amen. So, that's why the whole Bible sums up in only 2 laws. The Bible says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Amazing. Everything hang around love. Amen. Relationships are what matters most in your life. I can be a great neurosurgeon. I can make so much money. I can be a great pastor of a big 5,000 member church. And I want to be 5,000 member church. Don't take me wrong. I love to see this church grow. But if my relationship with my wife is stink, bad, it doesn't mean anything. If I have great church, but my relationship with you is bad, we all do it by work, by just all the rule and law and system in the church, it doesn't mean nothing in God's eyes. It's all about relationship. I'm going to keep that spirit in this church until the end of my life here. No matter how big we are, we're going to keep building. And I hope that the next generation will listen to this CD. Please give this CD to your chief. Because I believe that this is one of the most important teaching as a foundation of the church. It's about love. Amen?
Amen.
Not achievements. Not how much money you have. It's about love.
Amen.
Not, so make sure that you don't overload your schedule to the point that you don't have time to show love to people. Make sure. You don't overload your schedule. Everything you do, you should do out of love. You're going to evangelize because you love people. Not because it's one number. If you're going to have care group for love. It's about love in the care group. It's not just to run the meeting. Get the meeting done, everyone go home. No, it's about love. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let what's urgent to stop you from loving people. Amen? That's the reason why we need to show love to people when the opportunity arises right away. You know what is the greatest enemy of love? Busyness of life. I am too busy. I have a lot to do. I don't have time for you. Busyness of life. I want to talk to some parents in this room. It's not too late. Go back. Invite your son your daughter who grown up go out and date with them and have dinner. Amen. You can have $10 million in the bank, but if you don't have relationship with your son and your daughter, actually when they grow up, they should be your close, the best friend. Tanida is my best friend. I'm serious. She is my, we can talk, we can spend time. We are best. That's why we enjoy vacationing together. Because she is my best friend. Now she's like, even though she's my daughter, but she's my best friend now. She helped me. She, you know, everything we can talk. We need to be like that. Parents, we cannot just, hey, you know, I feed you, I give you money, bye bye. We need to build relationship. Everyone say again, relationship.
Relationship.
Amen. Don't be preoccupied with just making money, making a living, doing your work, paying bills, accomplishing your goal. You need to learn how to love. Build love. Relationship. Not too late. This lesson never come too late. Do it. Amen.
Amen.
Loving your members in the same care group. Love them. Build relationship with them. Hang out together. Do something together. Invite non-Christian friend too, but at the same time, love your brother and sister in the same care group. Not just about program. It's about love. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know why love is so important? Why love is priority? Because the Bible says this. Love will be the only thing that all that you have gonna last. Money will not last. House will not last. My friend lost 80% of his income, his saving in a few months. Is that right? House can be burned down. Stock market can go down. Your business can be in trouble. But the Bible said this, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. For the prophecy, it will be fulfilled and pass away. For as for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. Love lasts to the end. So if you're going to invest your life in something, I recommend you to invest your life in the areas of love. Love is like a legacy. Love will last. Love causes the most enduring impact on you. Do you notice one thing that when people are dying on the dying table, you never see any dying person say, can you bring me the stack of my diplomas? Can you bring me the checkbook? I want to see how much I have. You never see dying people say, can I see how many houses I own? How much business I have? Everyone who's dying says this. Where is my wife? Where are my kids? Where are my friends that I love? Can they come close to me now? I want to see their face before the last breath of my life. You know why? Because people at the end know that. The most important thing is relationship. Not money, not your houses, not your business. It's love. I don't want to die without any people around me. I want people who love me to be around me. I don't want just to have a lot of money, but people don't care about me. People don't even know me. I want people love me, and I want to love people. That's why when I heard that Dr. Chi was so sick and dying in the hospital, we make an attempt. We went to the hospital at 11 p.m. to visit him. I want him to know that when you are dying, we love you and we're going to come to comfort you. Because of love. Relationship is not about just not just building big church and being reputable. Love gives the long-lasting heritage. Actually, when I prepared this lesson, God asked me this question. What do you remember the most when you went to Lakewood Church in September last? Is that September? Yes, September last year. God asked me this question. When you went to Lakewood Church last year, what do you remember the most? Is his preaching? Pastor Joe Austin preaching? Is his worship? Is this his grand big building? Oh, his building is big. His great parking lot that we have, and we have a special parking where they put us to park with the pastor. They don't ask us to park outside. We park with the pastor. The same parking lot. And God asked me, what do you remember the most? Can Pastor Doug guess? I remember the most is this. That Dodie Osteen was standing with us for half an hour waiting to help us to meet with Pastor Joe Osteen, to shake hands with him. She gave up all of her members, thousands of members, to just stand with Pastor Lau and Pastor Da to entertain and show courtesy to us that I will help you, Pastor Lau, Dr. Lau, to shake hands with my son. That is love. She gave up her lunch. She didn't eat lunch that day to stand with us. What do I remember the most in the past 7 years about going to Tampa? I don't know if Pastor Dan know or not. The most important thing that I remember going to Tampa is not the laying out of hand, shaking on the floor, laughter. I tell you. The event that I remember the most about going to Tampa is the time when they have only half an hour and Pastor Rodney had to pick only 3 or 4 pastors to have Dick Mill, the prophet, to prophesy on them. And Pastor Rodney picked me and Da. At that time, I want to cry that this man loved me and Da to pick us out of maybe 600 people. He picked us. To show love to us that we fly from Seattle so many years. Amen. So God showed me today when I reading this lesson. Mom, what people remember the most is not your good preaching. You laying on of hand on them. But the experience that you love them. That you show love to them. How many people agree with me? Amen. Your memory is not about nice church service. It's not about nice song singing. It's about somebody show love to you in a personal way. Amen? Am I convincing you tonight to be loving people? Amen? And not only that, the Bible says love is the most important criteria that God used to reward us or to judge us at the end of our life. Look at what the Bible says, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will gather before Him and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For you have so much money in your bank, you have so many houses to rent out, you have big business program, you have such a big church, you're such a powerful preacher, you can lay hand and heal the sick and cast out demons, and you're so anointed, you are such a good speaker, you can build a very good internet program. Is that right? What did he say? For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick out in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. God judges you on the area of how much you show love to people. Not on how much money you have. Not on how great your business. How many cars you have. How big ministry you have. No. God judge you on your love. Please, from now on, look for opportunity to show love to people. If somebody in the church doesn't have a bed to sleep on, a what do you call? Mattress. If you have three, share with one. Share one with people. If somebody don't have money to go to camp, you have still have $5,000 kept in your bank. Why you keep that $5,000? You say, brother, come here. I pay for your camp. Amen. Show love. Can we become people like this in this church? That we are loving one another. I believe, you know, I talked to some people yesterday, a brother yesterday, that I believe with all my heart that the reason God put some poor people in our church to test your love. Why God doesn't bring only millionaire and rich people in our church so that you don't have to give to anyone. And you will, oh good, I can keep all of my money with me. God put poor people in this church to test your heart whether you love people or not. And if you flunk the test, you will never get promotion. You need to pass the test. Amen. Can you pay for another person to go to camp? If that for example, some family have five kids and the parent work $10 an hour. They all want to go to camp. But maybe the parents can pay only for themselves. Another five kids cannot go. You can say, hey, come here. I loved you. Can I pay for your kid? Maybe I sponsor two of your kids to go to camp. Would it be wonderful? Can we do this to each other in the church? Amen. Amen. Maybe you say, I have money. This new believer is still weak in the word. I'm gonna, okay. Jane, how many CD you have in this church? How many good CD that we produce? Oh, we have 200. How much? $2 each. Buy all of them. Give to this new believer. Listen to all of them. You're gonna grow very fast. Amen. Can we do that? To give gift of the word of God to one another. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? We need to be giver. We need to love people in action. When people walk into the church, do we greet people, say hi, I'm so glad to see you here? Or you just say, you know, it's not my business. I don't want to get involved with these people. No, love. Get reach out. Go greet. You know, I know you have done the best job you can, but we can...
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.